All right, if you got your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 7. Maybe that's your lucky number this morning. The title of today's message is Jesus Teaches at the Feast of Tabernacles. What is the Feast of Tabernacles? That is the seventh feast, the last feast of the seven feasts that God ordained in the law. Amen. And what that Feast of Tabernacles is where they would build huts or structures outside of their homes, and they would live in those made of branches or whatever they could find, and they would live in those for 7 days. And that was to remind them of their time in the wilderness. Listen, sometimes you and I need a reminder. Sometimes we need to remember what the wilderness is like. Right? Because you know what? You don't want to go back. Yeah, the wilderness. Yes. I want to show you a map this morning because, again, my only responsibility is to you is that you understand what we're talking about. And one of the greatest ways for you to always understand what I'm talking about, not only by keeping things in context, but also by giving you visual. You know why? Because a picture is worth 1,000 words. That's why. All right, so if you can see the map here, I want to remind you, here is the Sea of Galilee up here. That is where Jesus walked on water, right? And what territory is that in? Galilee. Get it? Sea of Galilee. All right. Right here in Capernaum. You see that? Remember last week he was in the synagogue in Capernaum. You look at verse 59 from the last chapter. He was in there in Capernaum preaching. And what he was saying is, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats of this shall never hunger or thirst again. Amen. Have you had that bread? I hope you have, man. I hope you have. Here's what I want to show you this morning. Because this is where we're going to open up in chapter 7. We're going to be in Galilee. Jesus is going to be talking with his family, his brothers in particular. But as we go through, I want you to know we're going to end up in Judea. We're going to end up in the temple, and he is going to end up in the temple during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, and he is going to be doing what he does, and that is preaching the Word of God. Amen? And when I say preaching the Word of God, I literally mean that. Because who is feeding him these words? His Father is feeding him these words. So I want you to remember that. Keep it up. Remember this right here? Sychar. What happened in Sychar? The woman at the well. The woman at the well. He talked about living water, did he not? Drink of this water and you'll never thirst again. Have you had a drink of that water? So you've had some bread and you've had some water. Amen. Well, I think you're in pretty good shape then. Right? All right, let's start reading verses 1 through 8. You say, Pastor, we got a lot to go over today. Yeah, but don't worry. God is good. He showed me something last week. He said, look, just trust me. Just trust me. You speak the word and let my word do what my word does. Right? All right. After this, we know what after this is. After preaching in the synagogue in Capernaum, Jesus went around Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judah. You remember the picture now? Galilee, Judea. Because the Jewish leaders were looking for a way to kill him. That's a pretty good reason if you ask me. But when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, everybody say was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, leave Galilee and go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, you should show yourself to the world. Now, to truly understand the way in which they are speaking to their brother, you have to understand this next verse. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. So how are they speaking that? They're speaking that sarcastically. Right? Hey, man, you know, you say you're all this and you say you're all that. Well, you ought to go to Jerusalem. Get out of Galilee and go down there and show them who you are. So his brothers did not believe in him. I want you to know something. Even in Jesus' own family, was division. in his own family. Therefore, Jesus told them, "My time is not yet here. For you, any time will do." I can tell that some of y'all know what that means. "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I am not going up to this festival because my time has not yet fully come." So, here's what I want you to know right off the bat. It's not because of a lack of courage that Jesus didn't want to go up to Judah, because he wasn't worried about these Jews who were looking for him, who were trying to kill him. Amen? Here is why Jesus didn't go, and he told us there a couple times. Because he was so acutely aware of what his Father wanted him to do, and he was hearing from his Father, that he tells them plainly, "My time has not yet come." And in case you didn't get that, he tells them again, "My time has not yet fully come." So Jesus is not as scared. He's listening to his Father, and his Father's time just simply doesn't line up with their time. But listen to me, God's time will never line up with your time. Come on. The question is, Brother Chris, do you have the patience? We learned this at the men's breakfast yesterday, that he needs a little patience. So we're all going to pray for Chris to have some patience. Amen. We're going to do it. So a lot of people are surprised here to realize that Jesus had brothers. But he actually did have brothers. He had four brothers. And if you went to Matthew chapter 13, you would see that there, not only does Jesus have four brothers who are mentioned by name, but the Bible also says he has some sisters. The Bible doesn't say how many, but he does have some sisters as well. But what we know from this verse, listen to me, is that his brothers did not believe in him. They grew up with him. They seen him. But his brothers, I'm just quoting you the word here, did not believe in him. Not only did they not believe in him, I want to show you something from Mark chapter 3, because they thought Jesus was out of his mind. They thought Jesus was cuckoo, cray cray, yeah. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. I want you to notice it was crowded. Almost as bad as when they had to let the guy down through the ceiling because there was nowhere to bring this man to Jesus. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." Speaking about his family, speaking about his brothers. But we already know his brothers did not believe in him. But I want you to know something. After the resurrection, man, you know what? A resurrection will change some stuff. Right? The resurrection will change some stuff. Because I want you to know, after the resurrections, his brothers were numbered with the disciples. Now, the context of what I'm going to read to you here in Acts is after the ascension. Okay? After Jesus has rose from the dead, spent 40 days on this earth, appeared to 500 people. All right? It's after that. And it says here, in Acts 1:14, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Come on, man. You know what? A resurrection can make a lot of difference, and it made a lot of difference in his brothers' lives, because I want you to know, they did believe in him after that. They did believe in him after that. All right? I want to reread verse to you. Verse 7, it says, "The world cannot hate you, because it hates me, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil." You say, well, why is Jesus telling his brothers that the world cannot hate them? Here's why. Because they are of the world. That's why he's telling them that. The world can't hate you because you belong to the world. The world, it treats you like its own, and it cannot hate you. But in contrast, Jesus says this. He says, the world hates me because I testify that its works are evil. So what Jesus is saying here is, because I tell people the truth, I am revealing to them their wickedness and their sin, and that is why they hate me. Come on. Wait a minute, Pastor. I'm supposed to be like him. Yeah. 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 I want to read something to you from John chapter 15. Don't worry. It'll be a little while before we get there and you'll forget all about it. I want to read, let this sink in cooperation, collaboratively with what we're speaking here, right? John 15, 18 through 25. Listen, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world because I have chosen you out of the world. Does that make sense now? That is why the world hates you, right? The world hates you because you don't belong to it. The world hates you because God has called you out of it. That is why the world hates you. And then he says in verse 20, remember what I have told you. A servant is not greater than his master. What does he mean when he says that? If they hated him, they're going to hate you. You're not greater than him. If they persecuted him, they're going to persecute you because you ain't greater than him. Come on, are you? Matter of fact, look what he says. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours. Take a little encouragement from that. Come on. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know who sent me. Amen? So look, man, you should be hated. I should be hated. I should be persecuted. By who? By the world. I should be. I want to read to you something that James says. He says in James 4:4, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Man. Here's what I got to ask you. Does the world hate you? Does the world persecute you? Or are you a friend of the world? Because here's what I want you to know. Jesus has brought and made a dividing line here. Right? You can't be his friend and a friend of the world. I want to read to you something. Some of Paul's last words in 2 Timothy, of course, to Timothy, and it's kind of some of his parting words to Timothy. And he said this, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You understand what I'm saying here? You understand what Jesus is saying here when he tells his brothers, the world can't hate you, but then Jesus tells us the world should hate you because it hated me, and the world should persecute you? But wait a minute, let's go back. Let's remember why the world hated Jesus. Because the words he spoke testified that their works were evil. In other words, Jesus spoke the truth. Do you know that every single word he spoke was the truth? Come on. Life-changing truth. If you could hear it with the right ears and see it with the right eyes, it's a life-changing word. It's a life-changing truth. Amen? All right, let's read on. Verses 9 through 13. After he had said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he also went. Not publicly, but in secret. A lot of people look at that and say, well, Jesus lied to him. No. Jesus was on his Father's time. And listen, I want you to know something. The Father's time may be a minute, 2 minutes, 2 days, 2 hours, 2 years different than yours. Amen? You don't know, but what you want to know, what you want to do is wait for his time. And that's what Jesus is doing here. Now, at the festival, the Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus. Now, wait a minute, because he was in Galilee. Now he is going to Judah because he'll be in the temple at the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, that's a pretty good trek. You know, a good day's journey. All right? Now, at the festival, the Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus and asking, where is he? Among the crowds, there was a widespread whispering about him. Some said, he is a good man. Others replied, no, he deceives the people. What do we see there? We see again division. Division. Man, would it be fair to say everywhere Jesus went, he brought division? Oh. But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the leaders. What leaders? The Jewish leaders, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes. All right, verse 14. Not until halfway through the festival. How long is the festival? 7 days. So 3.5 days through the festival, did Jesus go up to the temple courts and began to preach. I don't know about you, man, but this is just beautiful to me. Because I want you to picture this. He's in the temple courts. All right? The temple courts. Not a synagogue. The temple in Jerusalem. Can you just imagine him showing up there? All these people, man. Him going, wow, wow, wow. And he's standing before these people. Man, they don't even know. They don't even know God is standing before them. God is in their presence. Come on, he's here today too. Amen. He's just as present here as he was there. Amen. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Verse 15. The Jews were amazed and asked him, "How did this man get such learning without having been taught?" We don't have to wonder, do we? Listen, Jesus answers the question for us. Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me." Ah, who's he talking about? God. Now listen to this next part very, very closely. Very, very closely. "Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own." Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Does it say there that you and I first have to choose to do the will of God before we'll be able to understand if Jesus is speaking from God or on his own? Yes, that's exactly what it says there. You can't come to Jesus, we learned last week, unless what? Unless God sends you to him. John 6:44, Jesus said, "Unless my Father draws you, you cannot even come to me." Come on. So you didn't find Jesus. Jesus found you. Come on, man. I wasn't even looking for him and he showed up. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? It was a very, very dark, deep, ugly part of my life, but I wasn't looking for Jesus. But man, he showed up. When I say showed up, I mean showed up. Showed out. Because when he shows up, well, he is God, right, Emily? All right. Where are we at? 18. I want you to listen to this. "Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth, and there is nothing false about him." But I wanted to add the New King James Version because I like it better. "Because no unrighteousness is found in him." Man, listen, here's what Jesus is saying. I didn't come to bring myself glory. I didn't come to talk about myself. I came to talk about my Father. Amen. I come to speak the words that my Father gave me. That's what he's saying right here, right? But listen, what he also says, there was nothing false about him or no unrighteousness in him. Do you know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, I'm here on behalf of God. Matter of fact, he was God, right? But what he says right here is, and there is only truth and no sin in me. You get that? No unrighteousness in him. No falsehood in him. Jesus is declaring himself to be sinless right here. And he is. And he was sinless. Was he not? Man. All right, let's go on. Verse 19. You ready? "Has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law." You know why? Because nobody can keep the law. The law was there to point us to show us the need for a Savior. Nobody can keep the law. "Why are you trying to kill me?" Listen to what they told him. "You are demon-possessed," the crowd answered. "Who is trying to kill you?" Listen, man, when you speak the truth, you will. Don't be surprised by some of the things that come out of people's mouths. All right? Look at this. Here's God standing before them, telling them the truth. And they say, "You are demon-possessed." I mean, that's terrible, right? Jesus said to them, I did one miracle and you were all amazed. He's talking about here where he told the man who had been lame for 38 years, get up, take up your mat, and walk. That's what he's talking about. We went over that a couple weeks ago. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. That was part of the law. You remember? Circumcise him on the seventh day. Even Jesus did that. Now, if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry at me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Stop judging by appearances, but instead judge correctly. And I like the King James Version here too. Or judge with righteous judgment. So what is Jesus doing here? He's calling out their double standard. He's calling out their double standard. Look, you can take a boy and have him circumcised, which, by the way, requires cutting and bleeding and recovery time and wounding, right? But now you tell me because, not because of the law, but it was because of their traditions that he could not heal a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Man, how ridiculous. But listen to me. Who knows what a double standard is? Because all you got to do is look in Washington right now. Now, come on. I'm just being honest with you, man. Double standard. Good for thee, but not for me. Amen? That's what they're saying here, man. They got this double standard going on. Jesus, you know what he does? Calls them out on it. Do you think he would do it any other? Do you think he would do any other thing? By the way, that's my Savior right there. Amen. That's my Savior. Yeah, that's my Savior. And you know me, man. I'm not on board with the passive Jesus. He was anything but passive. Passionate, compassionate about speaking the truth. He didn't care who it offended. Amen. We've seen that a couple weeks ago. Remember, he asked his disciples, "Does this offend you? Well, you better get over it." All right, I want to share two with you, because that one where he says, do not judge according to appearance, verse 24, but judge with a righteous judgment. You know, we fall into that trap. Chris kind of touched on this a little bit on Wednesday night, but sometimes we fall into that trap and we meet somebody, and you know what we do? We judge them by what they're wearing, or we judge them by how they look. And I want you to know this morning, you are doing it all wrong. Amen? You and I need to judge people not by appearances, but with a righteous judgment. You know what that righteous judgment is? The Holy Spirit that lives within you. And again, here's what we see. We do not see things from a fleshly perspective, a worldly perspective. We have the Holy Spirit. So we see through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. It looks a lot different than looking through the eyes of the world. You follow me? Huge difference. That's what Jesus is saying here. But this verse right here, man, is so expandable. I want to read to you, because most of you know this story. Samuel is told to go and find that one of Jesse's sons is going to be the new king. Right? And he's got like seven brothers, and they start coming before him. And he said, nope, nope, nope. And then Eliab, the biggest, strongest looking dude, you know, probably handsome, big, strong, and Samuel's thinking, that's got to be him. And God tells Samuel this right here. He says, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen? That's how you and I should look. Do not judge by outward appearances. But what they're really talking about here to Jesus is, hey, you should know me. Because your Bible, your Word, the Scripture has talked about me. Quit judging by appearance and go back and read. And you'll see that I am who I said I am. Amen? But I want to share one more thing about this verse, because it's important. When it says, do not judge by appearances, but by a righteous judgment. You remember when Jesus said, Peter, come to me, and Peter stepped out of the boat and started walking on water. It was then he made a righteous judgment. And that righteous judgment was to see and keep his eyes fixed on Jesus. But what happened? He began to judge by appearance. And he began to see the wind or hear the wind and see the waves. And what happened? Listen, don't judge your storm by appearance either. Judge with a righteous judgment. See it the way God sees it. It'll change your life. It'll absolutely change your life. Amen. All right, verse 25. Man, we're rolling. Hallelujah. At that point, some of the people in Jerusalem began to ask, isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly. That's my Lord right there. You trying to kill me? I'm just going to stand up here and teach. And they are all not saying a word to him. Man, it's almost like he has this force field around him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Messiah? But we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from. That's not true, is it? And I want you to notice something. I want you to notice something. In this group of people, if you really read like I read, when you start reading, you start listening to these different people are really showing us where their spiritual understanding is, where their Old Testament knowledge is. Because these people say, well, we know where this guy's from, but we won't know where the Messiah is when he comes. That's not right. Micah, prophecy, the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Make no mistake about it. All right, where am I at? 28, here we go. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple. Oh, he's still teaching in the temple. Then he says this, he cried out. You know what that means? That means he's teaching like this, and then all of a sudden he does a Chris. Some of y'all on Wednesday nights, you know what I'm talking about, because Chris will be teaching, and he'll go, hallelujah. Amen. So he's gonna get loud here. Maybe that's where Chris got it. He got it from Jesus. But we know, all right, yeah, wait a minute. He cried out. This is what he cried out. Yes, you know me. You should know me, right? You know where I'm from. I'm not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him and he sent me. You do not know him, right? Is that what he said to him? You do not, boy, I want you to know how important it is that you do know him. You do not know him, but I know him because he has sent me. Verse 30, at this they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. There is nobody more shifty in the Bible than my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because they always trying to get him or lay hands on him or arrest him. Remember, when we talked, I think it was in chapter 4 of chapter 3, man, when he healed the guy and made him get up, the Bible says he disappeared in the crowd. That the guy didn't even know who he was. And he found him later in the temple. Well, he can just... And here they're trying to lay their hands on him. Nobody could lay a hand on him. Huh? Man, it just shows you that God is in control. Right? God is in control. All right. Verse 31, still many in the crowd believed in him. They said, when the Messiah comes, will he perform more signs than this man? I want you to see, there are people in the crowd who are beginning to see the light, right? The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things. They don't like that, man. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees, what they do, sent the temple guards to arrest Jesus. Follow me here, and I'll show you how that turns out. Jesus said, I am with you only for a short time, then I'm going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. Wait a minute now. Why? Why can I not come? Why? What do you mean I cannot come? Wait a minute, because here, remember what we read a minute ago? They did not believe in him. And listen, let me share this verse with you too, because this is what Jesus told to his disciples in John 13, 36. Listen, Simon asked him, Lord, where are you going? Same question. Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow, but you will follow later. What's the difference here? Jesus is the difference. Jesus is the division. You following me? If you don't believe in Jesus, you cannot follow Jesus. But if you do, you will follow Him. And you will follow Him to a place I cannot even begin to explain to you. It is going to be so fantastic. Amen? Isn't God good? All right, let's pick it up in verse 35. The Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go where we cannot find him? Where will he go where our people live scattered among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What did he mean when he said, 'You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" Listen to me. Right now, they have the answer to that question. Do they not? They have the answer to that question. We don't have the answer to that question because we don't know what transpired in these people's lives. But right now, they know the answer to that question. And that's why you got to answer the question right. Right? Because if you want to follow Jesus, you're going to have to believe that He is who He says He is. Period. It's too big of a risk. Not to, yes. All right, verse 31. Listen, on the last, man, we have done some traveling, right? We started in Galilee. We all the way down to Jerusalem, now 3.5 days into the tabernacle where Jesus is in the temple preaching, right? Now it says on the very last day. So we've covered some time here. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, here he goes again. Right? Listen to what he said in that loud voice. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given. Why? Since Jesus had not yet been glorified. But you know what? I want you to picture this, because this is a beautiful picture. Jesus is out there promising the Holy Spirit if they would believe in Him now. Now, they couldn't get the Holy Spirit then, but what He's saying is, I'm promising you this if you will believe in me now. You know what's amazing? When you really stop thinking about it, some of you will go with me and some of you are going to be off the cliff here, but listen. When the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 2, what about these people that weren't there when it was poured out, but believed? You think they got it? Absolutely, because Jesus promised they would have it. Come on! That's my God. All right. I'm going to come back to that. On verse 40, on hearing his words, some of the people said, surely this man is the prophet. What prophet? Deuteronomy 18:15, the one Moses spoke about. And we've seen these people speak about this at least the third time right here. At least says that he is the prophet. Others said he is the Messiah. Still others asked, how can the Messiah come from Galilee? Again, starting to see some of their, you know, their spiritual understanding here, right? Their biblical knowledge, so to speak. You know, I can sit down with you and probably in about 15 minutes, I can know your biblical knowledge. Come on. I can know your political knowledge just by asking you a few questions. Let me try. Huh? Show up Wednesday. Does not Scripture say, listen, we're going to see some people with some biblical knowledge. Does not the Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? Why, yes. Matter of fact, it does. In the book of Micah, chapter 3. Yes, sir. All right. Thus, the people were what? We've seen a lot of that in this chapter. But if you stop and think about it, if we go back to the first 6 chapters, we've seen a lot of it there too. And here's why I'm bringing this out and bringing it to the forefront. Because I want us to notice it for the rest of the book as well. Amen. So it says here, Thus the people were divided because of? Because of Jesus. Because of the words that he spoke. Come on, the truth, yes. But no one laid a hand on him. No one laid a hand on him. Wait a minute. Didn't they send him to arrest him? We haven't seen how that turned out yet, have we? All right, let me touch on this real quick, because these right here, these are the last words in this chapter that Jesus speaks. All right? All the rest of his discourse. But here's the last words here that Jesus speaks in this chapter, verse 37, 38. And you know what? He stands up. And what is he doing here? Listen, he is done speaking. And then what does he do? He gives an invitation. He gives an invitation. And I want you to know something. He is speaking in a loud voice when he stands up and gives this invitation. What's his invitation? Let anyone, wait a minute. Did he say anyone? Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever, man, there's that word again. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from. Does that mean that there's within them means there's something in you that will flow out of you? That's what he's saying, right? That's what he's saying. But here's what I want you to see. Anyone and whoever means that this invitation was open to everyone. Was it not? Jesus was not speaking here about a physical need, was he? He's talking about a spiritual one. He's not offering a temporary solution. This one, my friends, is a permanent, eternal solution. Yes, and listen, he's not just offering a drink. He's offering a river that will refresh you, a river that will cleanse you, a river that will satisfy you, a river that will literally transform you. I mean, listen to me, because I want you to try to picture this in your mind. What does a flooded river do? Takes everything. Come on! What a beautiful picture. Amen. So the living water that Jesus offers here is no doubt the Holy Spirit. But I want to show you something. It's not enough just to come. You know what? He gave an invitation. Let me give an invitation. Maybe you're here today and you've never drank the living water. I'm telling you who that living water is. That living water is Jesus Christ. He went to the cross and he died for your sins and paid the penalty for your sins. And all you have to do is say, Jesus, I accept the penalty that you paid on the cross of Calvary for my sins. And I invite you into my life and into my heart to be my Savior. And you know what he does?
He
does! Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Listen, it's not enough just to come. He says you got to drink. You can hang out all you want. But there's an action that's required on your part. And that is, you need to drink. You can't just come. You got to take it in. You got to accept it. You got to receive it. And you got to do it by faith. That's all God asks, is that we do it by faith. Amen. We embrace it by faith. Thank you, Lord, that I drank 30 years ago, and it happened to be Chris who was pouring at that time. Amen? He was pouring, I was drinking. Sounds like we're having a party. Well, it kind of was a party for me. All right, let's wrap this up. You ready?
Yep.
Verse 44. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees who asked them, why didn't you bring him in? No one ever spoke the way this man does, the guards replied. Listen. If Jesus and this Bible and the words in this Bible do not amaze you, they will never change you. You understand me? Man, when I look forward to picking this word up and asking God that as I read it, man, let me glean from it what you want me to glean from it. And I'm always amazed. I mean, come on, there's some stories in here that are miraculous. they're all true. Every single one of them. And listen, if you'll let this word change you, this word will absolutely change you. But listen, you've got to be at least on the same level as these soldiers. Man, I ain't never heard anybody talk that way before. And by the way, I want you to notice the Pharisees and the soldiers that they control, well, there's a division there. Right? Because they sent them to get him. And they came back without him. Verse 47, you mean he has deceived you also? I guess we can see the division now comes clear, right? The Pharisees retorted, have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? Oh, I might be one. What would his name be? Might be Nicodemus. But no, he says, no, but this mob knows nothing about the law, and there is a curse on them. So first, when Jesus speaks the truth, he's possessed by a demon. Now, when the truth is spoken, what is it? They said that there's a curse on them. Listen, that's what the world does. And that's what the world does to the truth. And that's what the world will do to you when you speak the truth. But you and I are supposed to speak the truth, no matter what. In love. Because I've seen them people. Beating people over the head. Not literally, but just beating them over the head with the Bible. Right? That ain't going to get you anywhere. Start calling people's sin out. Listen, take the plank out of your own eye. And you'll see clearer to take the speck out of their eye. Right? Take the plank out of your own eye. What is God saying? Realize you have a plank. And it's because of the plank. Amen. You got to remove that plank, and then you'll see that sin in your brother's eye, it's really just a speck. And yours was, well, a whole lot bigger. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing? Amen. What do you see here in the Pharisees? Division. Division. They replied, are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee. Now that should surprise you, because these are the Pharisees talking. If anybody knows where the prophet would come out of, it should have been these people. And you know what? I think they did. Personally, they just didn't want to recognize it. They did not want to recognize it. I want to show you something. Well, the lessons we've learned here are life-changing, but I want to show you something, not only to watch what we've seen today, but to watch throughout the rest of this book. In Jesus' own family, there was division, right? His brothers didn't even believe in him. This is during his ministry. He's 30 years old, people, all right? I don't know. Can you hang out with Jesus for 30 years and not know there ain't something special? Unless you just don't want to see it because you're so a part of the world. Come on, and if you're that big a part of the world, you won't see Jesus. Matter of fact, God won't even send him, probably. Amen? Were the people divided? We read throughout this whole chapter the people were divided. Some said he's the Messiah. Some said he's demon-possessed, right? How can this be the Messiah? He's not supposed to come from Galilee. Divided. Divided, divided. We've seen that the temple guards were divided with the Pharisees. We've seen the Pharisees divided against themselves. Amen? Here's what I want you to understand, man. Jesus, wherever he went, brought division. Can I tell you in all honesty? Jesus is the line in the sand. Jesus is the line in the sand. And I want you to know something. You need to be on the right side of that line, because there is great differences from being a sheep on the right and a goat on the left. Amen? Make the sound of which you are. I knew some of you get that. The rest of you, I don't know. I don't even know what a goat sound. Somebody tell me what a goat sound is. All right, I want to read this to you. We'll be done. Comes from Luke chapter 12. This is to encourage you. Jesus said, I have come to bring fire on the earth. And listen, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo. And what constraint I am under till then. What is Jesus really saying? Man, if I could, I would burn the world to the ground right now. But I have a baptism to undergo. What is that baptism? The cross of Calvary. Praise God, he followed God's plan. Come on. Amen. Amen. All right. Do you think I came to bring peace on this earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Amen. Jesus didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring division. And everywhere Jesus went, people were divided. And here's what I want you to know, man. Everywhere you go and you stand and you preach the truth, there will be a division. Amen. But listen, there cannot be a division unless you're willing to stand and preach and teach the truth. There can't be. Because if you're preaching the world to the world, there is no division. Come on. You know what the problem is today? We're afraid. We're afraid to speak the truth because somebody might, well, persecute us. Well, hate us. You know what? Jesus said ahead of time, look it, they're going to hate you. They're going to persecute you. But listen, we got to do exactly what he did. Speak the truth, because in speaking the truth in love, we can reveal to them that their deeds are wicked and evil. Amen? 2 Corinthians 6:14, this is what Paul said. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Are you different this morning? Are you different this morning? I know we can say it, and we can even sometimes really believe it. But the question is, are you different? During the week, do you sound different? During the week, do you look different than the world? It's important. It's important. Jesus said this in Matthew 12:30, whoever is not for me, whoever is not with me, is against me. Man, you talk about a dividing line, and Jesus being that line in the sand. If you are not with him, you are against him. Come on. And what does he say there? Whoever does not gather, you are either gathering for the kingdom of God, or you're living your life according to the world, and the world can't tell you apart from itself, and you are in fact scattering from the kingdom of God. You hear me? Man, make a decision. Make a decision. Come on, man. You got to do your part and I got to do my part. You want to wonder why the world's in the shape it's in? That's why. That's why. I mean, it's just all one big mess. You can't even see the division anymore. That church looks like that church, and that church like that church. We're going to be different. You know why? You know why we're going to be different? Well, we're going to tell you what God said. And I don't care if you're offended. Amen? I don't care if you're offended. Matter of fact, you should be. And I should be. Because the truth only offends a lie. Amen? If you would, stand with me. I'm going to go all the way back to verse 7 and close with this. The world cannot hate you. Listen, if the world doesn't hate you, I want you to know this. It's because you look and act and speak just like them. Come on. But it hates me, Jesus said, because I testify that its works are evil, because he spoke the truth. Amen. You know what? I want to be honest with you. When I worked at the same place, 21 years, there was people there that when they seen me coming, they would go out of their way to get away from me. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Right? What did Jesus say in the Beatitudes? He said, blessed is those who are persecuted because of me, for they shall see the kingdom of God. Amen? They were. Remember when Paul was in prison and they were beaten and they let him go? God opened up the prison. What did they say? Praise God that we were found worthy to be beaten for the Lord. Man, come on. Are you scared? Don't be scared. I want you to know something. God needs you now in your lifetime more than he's ever needed you in your lifetime. Amen? Absolutely. Just to stand on the truth. Speak the truth in love. And by the way, make sure what you're saying is true. I've heard people think that, what the heck are you saying? Amen? Speak the truth in love. You know, let me give you an example. You get to be and do whatever you want to be and whatever you want to do. Okay? But you have no right to make me agree with you. Are you following me? Your truth is whatever you say it is, that's fine. But let me give you the truth. Amen? I have the truth. It's not even mine. And you know what? When I speak it, I'm not speaking it to bring myself glory. I'm speaking it to bring glory to the one who sent me. Come on. Did he send you to or just me? What did he send you to? Speak the truth. Speak the truth. I challenge you this week to be persecuted by the world. I challenge you this week to be hated by the world. Because the truth is, if you're going to live a godly life, that's the way your life's going to be. That's what the Bible says. Come on! Let's pray this morning. Father, we just come before you again. What an honor it is, Lord, just to hear your word and to hear your words and to see them in context and see them in setting. Thank you, Father, that every word we read this morning is true. Lord, that we would have your boldness to stand up in a place where they're looking to try to kill you, but to stand there and speak the truth, Lord. That's the boldness that I want. That's the boldness I want for everyone who can hear my voice this morning. Not afraid of the consequences of the world, the persecution, or what else may come, Lord. May we stand on your word. May we stand on your truth. May we be your ambassadors, Lord. May we remember this morning the invitation, Lord. Let anyone who come who is thirsty, and whoever believes in you, as the scripture says, rivers of flowing water, rivers will flow from within them. I ask you this morning, Lord, if there's someone here who doesn't have a relationship with you, who's never trusted in you for the forgiveness of their sins, Lord, and invited you to be their Savior, today would be that day, Lord. That's the most important decision they'll ever make. I just ask them to come this morning, Lord. They made that decision. We love you, Lord. We commit this time to you. I know you're speaking to your people, Lord. Some of us need to get bold. We need to get more confident. We need to quit looking like the world, Lord. Help us this morning to heed you. Heed your words. Heed your warning. We love you, Lord. We do. And let us never speak in arrogance, Lord, but in love. It's in Jesus' name I pray.